Now in a logo, a towering block of gold letters reads 20th Century Fox. Hollywood spotlights crisscross their shining skyward beams. More words appear, a news corporation company. In another logo, our view sweeps across the dunes of a desert landscape. Wind sweeps sand up into the shape of a D, Dune Entertainment. Now among puffy clouds, a single-engine plane soars between a hot air balloon and a dirigible. We soar back through a door's peephole, radiating brilliant light. As we peer up at a mansion, a strip of celluloid floats into view and curls to form the letter D. A blizzard overtakes our view, which pulls back to reveal a snow globe. 20th Century Fox presents Mr. Popper's Penguins.
Over.
A date appears, 1976. A boy climbs out of bed in his pajamas. On his tippy-toes, he reaches for a radio.
This is tippy-toe. Over.
Did you receive the souvenir package? Over.
Package received. Over. Is it snowing there now, Dad?
I wouldn't know, kiddo, because I'm in Marrakesh.
Whoa!
This is the big one, buddy. A dream come true.
We've been compromised. Over.
Kiss her for me.
The boy climbs back in bed.
This is Mama Bird. Over and out.
His mother shuts off the radio.
You get to sleep.
Now at the radio again.
Guess where I am now, pal. Romania!
The boy wears vampire teeth.
Papua New Guinea makes the old Guinea look like nothing.
1978. Now the boy's feet hang over the end of his bed.
Bald eagle calling tippy-toe. Over.
The boy steps onto the floor and crosses to the radio, which he turns on while remaining flat-footed.
I can reach now.
Wow. How long have I been gone?
2 months and 17 days.
Well, don't worry, because Samoa is what we've been looking for. This one is going to be my legacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now our view retracts from the radio and its attached microphone. The boy lies on his bed with a book, staring at the device. 1981. On the radio, a gauge's needle remains motionless. Sitting up in bed, the boy glances at the radio, then flips a page of a book on his lap. The boy hops out of bed, hurries over to the radio, and flips a switch.
Tippy-toe to Bald Eagle. Over. Come in. Are you there?
Hey, kiddo. I'm right on the verge of something big here. But I'm not going to make it home for your birthday. I'm really sorry, but opportunities like this are hard to find, son.
A blizzard sweeps across the boy's disappointed gaze. Daytime, in Manhattan, a businessman talks on his cell phone 30 years later.
Opportunities like this are hard to find, Franklin. I'm about to bag a rare species on this little expedition. 15 FAR. It's a million absolute. In a landmark building. Don't thank me. Just start building a statue. Morning, Pippi.
Mr. Popper.
Contract.
Popper smells the bound contract.
I love the smell of toner in the morning.
That's the pertinent printout and the person we're purchasing the property from is present.
Stuart.
Inside, Pippi faces a secretary.
Mr. Popper for Mr. Gremmins.
And you are?
Pippi Papanopoulos. I'm Mr. Popper's personal assistant. I process his paperwork and I procure his periodicals.
She doesn't even know she's doing it.
Pardon?
Nothing.
You can go in.
Later.
Mr. Popper, sorry to waste your time, but I changed my mind. Not going to sell.
Gremmins hands him the contract.
I understand. Second thoughts are as valid as first thoughts. They just come later.
It's just that this building is my last holding, and if I sell, then...
Then you're free. And that's a scary thing. Hey, I get it. Doing any sailing this year?
Popper points to a model ship.
Who has the time?
Yeah, my father sailed around the world solo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lucky man.
Yeah, pulled Hemingway. Just him in the sea.
You know, that's always been a dream of mine.
Oh, he had some stories. Like that storm off the Horn of Africa.
The Horn of Africa?
Oh, yeah. The sea was calm, the sailing smooth, went out of nowhere.
Gah! 20-foot swells like a hammer punch to the prow.
Dad was a heck of a sailor, but he'd never seen waves like this.
Popper rocks Gremmin's chair.
Gale force winds.
He nods to Pippi, who turns on a fan.
Whipped his ship like a rubber ducky.
He sprinkles Gremmin's with water from a pitcher.
Balls and needles. And suddenly the wind ripped the mainsail off the mast.
Pippi tosses scraps of newspaper.
He was doomed.
What did he do?
What did he do?
Yes.
Spun the wheel. Hoisted the jib.
Popper spins his client's chair.
When he came out the other side, oh my God.
Oh my God. What?
It can't be, but it is.
What is it?
A blue whale.
Popper cocks an eyebrow at his assistant.
Like a gentle giant,
the most majestic creature on Earth.
It's so beautiful.
Can you see it? His skin glistening in the sun.
He looks at Pippi, who hands him a newspaper hat.
A rainbow. In the spray of his mighty blowhole.
He places the hat on his client's bald head.
Oh, well, you'll get out there. Someday.
Gremlin shuts his eyes and shakes his head. Popper pats him on the shoulder. As he and his assistant head out, Gremlin swivels his chair to face them.
Wait.
Popper turns back with a smile, now in a boardroom.
Way to go, Popper.
Hey, it's what I do.
Gentlemen, what is the future of Franklin, Reeder, and Yates? A long, slow decline, getting older and weaker, till it has that funny smell, starts driving around all day with the left turn signal on? Franklin? Or will it be reborn with vim, vigor, and Viagritality? I say we meet the future head on.
He unveils a marble slab etched with Franklin, Popper, Reeder, and Yates.
Come on, guys. It's time to commit. It's time to go above and beyond, say, and put a ring on it. Beyonce is a singer, Franklin. She's a singer named Beyonce. Can he hear me?
No, we had a feeling this was coming, Popper.
We saw the marble slab in your office.
Oops.
Popper, there's no one more qualified than you to take a seat at this table.
He grabs a chair.
Don't sit just yet.
Okay.
There is one more prize we would like you to get for us.
Name it, fellas. Plaza Hotel? Empire State Building? The Pentagon?
Tavern on the Green.
Tavern on the Green?
What's the matter, Popper?
Nothing. It's just kind of a rundown place.
It's the only privately held real estate in Central Park. We can build anything we want on it.
You mean like wipe it off the face of the earth? Mm. Start over?
Mm-hmm.
You like it never existed?
Exactly. But first, you've got to get past Selma Van Gundy. She's gotten 1,000 offers, turned them all down.
You've got one shot. You think you can close her?
I'm sorry. Have we met? I'm Tom Popper. I do deals like this in my sleep.
On a residential street.
Hey, Amanda, we're pulling up. Can you make sure the kids are ready?
Yeah.
Last time it took a while. Keep it running.
Sure thing, Miss Popper.
Popper leaves his town car for a brownstone.
Thomas! Greetings.
Greetings, Rick. And welcome to our planet. Lately, we've been using the word hi or a simple sup.
Rick wraps his arms around him.
How are you?
I'm better now. Thank you.
No, really, Thomas, how are you?
Really, I'm good.
The bearded man holds him in a long, unblinking gaze.
Please look away. Okay, I will.
Popper enters the house to find a boy dribbling a soccer ball.
Hey, Popper! I've been working on my power shot.
Let's see what you got, tough guy. Come on.
The boy kicks the ball into his groin and he collapses on the floor.
Oh, nice save. Hey, Popper.
Greetings.
He peeks in the refrigerator.
Say hi to Rick.
Yeah, he hugged me 3 times. Felt like an endangered sequoia.
Come on, we've only gone out a couple times.
He's a keeper.
There is nothing wrong with a man who recycles.
I recycle. I turn decrepit old buildings into shiny new ones.
Did I mention he's also incredibly handsome?
Really?
Hmm.
Good to see your taste hasn't changed.
And thoughtful. And considerate.
The boy joins them.
Where's your sister?
She's having issues. You know, Cooper Keegan.
A confused Popper looks at Amanda.
Love of her life.
A teenager comes downstairs.
Hi! Hey, look who's here. Who's ready for a big weekend at Dad's?
The teen plops on a couch with her cell phone.
She says she doesn't want to go with you this weekend. Maybe you should talk to her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Popper and his son eye the girl.
What are we looking at?
95 pounds of C4 explosives on a hair trigger.
Hmm.
Make sure you clip the right wire. Otherwise...
Ba-boom.
They swap a look.
You're in the Hurt Locker now, Popper.
Popper ambles into the living room and stuffs his hands in his pockets.
You want to talk about it? Come on.
He sits beside his daughter, who rolls her eyes.
What do you do if you like somebody but they don't like you back?
Popper glances aside and subtly shakes his head.
Janie, you're a powerful woman. You're an independent lady. You don't even need a man, really. Look at Martha Stewart. She's rich and she sleeps with her dogs.
Janie gets up.
You are so warped. I don't know why I thought for 1 second I could talk to you.
Janie.
This is why I don't want to go.
She storms out.
He cut both wires.
Come on. It's our weekend. It's going to be fun. Good talk.
Popper stuffs his hands in his pockets.
Good talk.
Now the town car parks.
Mr. Popper, Pippi, I parleyed with the tavern people and persuaded them to ponder your proposal.
Great. I don't have the kids this weekend, so set a meeting with Van Gundy and call me.
A doorman greets him.
No little ones this weekend, Mr. P?
No, Daryl. They don't like me right now.
Well, I like you, sir.
Already working on the Christmas bonus, huh?
Never start too early.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, you have a good one, Mr. P.
Later, Popper enters his spacious two-floor apartment. Glancing over the sleek black furnishings, he sets gift bags on a table. He takes off his sunglasses, then adjusts the dining room chair. He leans his hands on the table. Popper looks around the immaculate living room. He takes out his cell phone.
Tommy, it's Reginald. Call me. It's about your father.
In an office.
So where was he, Reginald?
Antarctica.
Selling ice to the Eskimos?
That's the Arctic.
Whatever.
Your father loved you, Tommy.
Oh, that's good to know. Want to read?
Popper sits and crosses his legs.
The last will and testament of Thomas Popper Sr. To the good folks of the Geographic Society, I leave my Slovenian Zither recordings, the Tahoe yurt, and the Uzbek yurt, as well as the rest of my worldly possessions. To my little Tommy, I've sent you a souvenir. I'm sorry I couldn't deliver this one to you in person. Bald Eagle, over and out.
Popper stares off. Now the city's buildings stand against a muted dawn sky. An alarm clock reads 6:30 a.m. Popper shuts it off and sits up on the side of his bed.
Monday. Thank God.
Now fully dressed, Popper opens his front door and finds a wooden crate waiting for him in a hallway.
Ah, my souvenir. It's too big for a snow globe, too small for a yurt.
He removes the top and finds a frozen penguin inside.
Oh, wow. Stuffed penguin. For the man who has everything.
He removes the frosty penguin from the crate and smirks as he sets it down on an end table.
Thank you, Daddy.
As Popper turns, the penguin blinks and stretches its neck.
Sergeant Pipper. Yeah, I know, I'm late. Van Gundy is at the tavern already?
It lifts its flippers.
Yes, I know how important she is.
It shakes off ice chips from head to toe.
Stall her. I'll be there in 15 minutes. I don't know. Tell her I was poisoned by a porcupine or punched by a pedestrian. What do I pay you?
He turns around.
Four.
The penguin's gone. He abruptly stands upright with his eyes wide and his mouth slightly agape, then slowly turns to find the knee-high black and white bird standing behind him. He raises his cell phone.
I'll call you back.
Facing the penguin, he puts his cell phone back in his pocket.
It's a live penguin. He sent me a live penguin.
Eyeing the penguin, he cautiously crouches down and pokes its white chest. The penguin glances around. Popper leans in, reaching out to the flightless bird. He carefully grabs the penguin by the waist and picks it up. Popper stands upright, gazing at it.
I like penguin.
White bird droppings land on his black leather shoe. He sours and carries the penguin away. Later, Popper dumps ice into a bathtub.
As soon as I get home, you go back where you came from.
He pats the tub.
See this? Made in Italy. Not for pecking. Frette towels? Also not for penguins. Other than that, don't touch anything.
In the living room.
Pippi, hang on. Coming.
Oh! Popper walks into the crate, breaking it apart and sending an envelope sliding under a dresser. He rubs his shins.
No time for pain.
He grabs his briefcase and leaves. Our view presses in on the envelope. Now in Central Park, Popper jogs to the Tavern on the Green, a quaint brick restaurant. Inside, Pippi paces.
Mr. Popper, phew. Punctuality is a priority for this particular person.
Don't sweat it, Pip. Start scratching this old gal behind the ears. Pretty soon she'll be curled up in my lap, purring like a kitty cat.
Purr. Pippi's eyes widen.
Right behind me. Mrs. Van Gundy, pleasure to meet you, Tom Popper.
Mr. Popper.
He offers his hand for a shake, but the wealthy old woman holds hers out for a kiss. Popper gives it a quick peck.
I'm afraid I can only offer you 10 minutes. You're extremely late.
It's all I need.
In a dining room with crystal chandeliers, she leads him past four staff members.
This is Tito and Freddy, our kitchen staff.
Hi.
And Klaus, he's our handyman. And this is our chef, Arnold. His kind of cooking never goes out of style. Do you like kidney pie?
Are you kidding me? I love it. In fact, I'm a donor.
Klaus and Arnold eye him flatly.
Filled out the card and... No, I've never actually had that, but I would love to try it.
Let's have a seat.
She leads him to a corner table.
All right, guys, back to work.
I wonder if we could sit more in the center of the room. I want to get a real sense of the space.
At the apartment, the penguin pecks at the tub, then tries to hop on a ledge and accidentally turns on a faucet. It ducks its head under the running water. At Tavern on the Green.
You have a very unusual name, Mr. Popper, and I never forget one. This restaurant has been in my family for three generations. Wow. My grandmother served coq au vin for Winston Churchill, and my father poured champagne for Fred Astaire.
My mother made a BLT for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar once. She said he was surprisingly down to earth, which is ironic, considering how tall he is.
Fascinating. But I can't sell this place to just anyone. I mean, I consider the staff to be family, too.
Nothing more important than family to me. Nothing.
Are you married?
Not presently.
Any children?
Two. And we have the most magical alternate weekends together.
Tell me about your father.
My father?
He gazes at the corner table.
What can I say? A father's a father, and he was no different.
You were close.
Yes. Well, we're related. But, Miss Van Gundy, I want to talk about you and your life beyond all of this. Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and kind of a marmalade sky.
I don't do drugs, Mr. Popper. Let me tell you something. I could sell this place to any number of sharp-tongued snake oil salesmen like yourself. But I'm not selling to anyone until I know what they're worth.
You mean my net worth?
Yeah. If that's how you interpret it, that tells me something. Well, I'm afraid your time is up, Mr. Popper. The tavern is not presently for sale.
Mrs. Van Gundy leaves. Popper stands and Pippi joins him.
Should have gone with strawberry fields.
Meanwhile, in Popper's bathroom, water trickles over the edge of the tub and onto the floor. As more flows from the faucet, the penguin swims and dives in the overflowing bath. Later, Popper arrives at home and makes a call.
Argartei!
Oh, good. You sent me a package. My name is Popper.
Popper? You're Captain Popper, baby!
Captain? Yes? I'm Captain Popper Bebe, my father, who is apparently your captain, had you send me a penguin.
You like penguin. It's good, yes?
No, it's bad.
He heads upstairs.
Your captain was crazy.
So crazy. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had someone. But listen, I have to send this penguin back. What? Hello?
Behind the bathroom's glass panel door, the penguin
Hello?
Swims by.
I have to send the penguin back.
Send a penguin.
Yes, send penguin. Send penguin. I told you five times I have to send the penguin.
Five times, send a penguin. Okay.
Great. Oh, and the crate is damaged. Can you send me another crate so I can ship this thing? Hello? Hello?
Duh. He reaches for the bathroom door.
What am I gonna do with you?
As he opens it, water gushes out, knocking Popper down. Engulfing him, it washes over the staircase landing to the floor below. Popper's fingers clutch the landing's edge as he dangles over his dining area. The penguin approaches.
Oh, you are so done!
The bird poises its rear above Popper's face.
No.
As it releases a stream of white droppings, Popper lets go of the landing. Later, he makes a call.
Argartei!
Hello!
Sorry, cannot take a phone call. We will be closed in 1 month for Ice Festival!
He drops his phone into a blender. Sparks flash as he turns it on. Now he answers his door.
Hey, animal control. Got a call about a bird?
I am very happy to see you.
The penguin appears behind him.
Oh,
That's the little fella.
What the?
Go ahead, he's friendly.
I didn't know it was a penguin. Okay, I'm gonna have to check the manual. Yeah, it's not in the book.
Can't we just call it a pigeon? Big fat pigeon?
I can't touch it if it's not in the manual. It's a union violation. Try fishing game.
Another official.
You need marine and waterfowl.
Sorry, bud. Try NYC sanitation.
Yeah, I only pick up the dead ones.
The sanitation man leaves. Nighttime. Popper lies on his couch with a laptop and navigates a website called the Penguin Recipe Page. He notices his own penguin watching him. As the bird tilts its head curiously, Popper minimizes the recipe window. Later, Popper sleeps with a closed computer still on his lap. His limp hand slides off the couch's edge. The penguin waddles to his side. Leaning closer, it eyes the weary man. Morning. As Popper sleeps soundly, his penguin washes with its beak mere inches from his face. Waking up, Popper finds himself staring straight into the bird's open beak. Later, he ushers it into the hall.
Okay. Get. Go. Skedaddle. Waddle on down the road.
He points.
South Pole's that way. Exit the building, take a right. And keep going.
The penguin stares at him. Popper notices a vase of flowers sitting on a table in the hallway.
Okay. Need a little help. I get it.
He pours the vase's water down the hall.
Watch this!
He grabs the bird.
And
he tosses it onto the path of water.
There you go!
The penguin slides away on its belly.
Yes! Bye-bye, birdie.
Later, Popper passes the building's front desk.
Hey, Mr. P.
Yeah. I got your penguin for you.
He holds it up.
What? What are you talking about?
That's not my penguin.
Oh, really?
Why would I have a penguin?
Daryl sets the penguin on the floor, then turns to a computer. He pulls up security footage of Popper tossing the penguin down the hallway.
Well, that could be anybody.
Oh.
He shows a closer image of Popper cheering and freezes it.
Just give me the stupid thing.
Daryl hands it over.
So the board must have given you a free pass on the whole no pets thing. That is mighty nice of them.
Popper offers a bill.
How much till you don't see a penguin?
Daryl looks at the bird standing behind him.
Oh, I can still see him.
Popper hands him more cash.
It's getting blurry.
He doles out even more.
If I decided to squint, it could look like a puppy.
How's that?
Daryl feels Popper's face.
Is that you, Mr. P? The light's going dim.
Popper returns to his apartment.
Yeah, Pippi.
Mr. Popper.
Yeah, I'm not coming into work again today.
Oh, pourquoi?
I have a pest problem.
What particular pest is the problem?
It's a penguin.
A penguin?
Yeah, starts with P. You ought to be able to handle it.
A neighbor emerges.
Hello, Popper.
Kent.
Is that a pet I hear, Popper?
Pet? No. What? Of course not.
Okay. I mean, I can't say I blame you. If I had your 3,200 square feet, I'd find someone to share it with, too.
Well, it's not a pet, Kent. I left the television on. I'll take care of it.
Popper's smile fades and his eyes shift.
Digital surround. It's like a real animal in there, buzzing stuff. It's amazing.
He backs through his doorway.
Bye, Kent.
Later on a nature program.
The golden eagle is North America's largest bird of prey.
As Popper ties a ribbon on a gift box, his penguin steps closer to the television. It examines its flippers, then flaps them as it watches a soaring eagle on the nature show.
You like that, huh?
He picks up the TV remote.
Too bad.
I was listening to your
He changes the channel to a news program called The Squawk Box. The penguin waddles over and unties the gift's ribbon.
That's not cute. You're not cute. I don't want people seeing you.
Opening the door, Popper finds a wooden crate.
Yes, now you're talking. Hey, Chilly Willy, your ride is here.
With its flippers extended behind it, the penguin hurries over. Popper removes a panel on the crate.
Someone's going on a little trip today. No big deal, right? All right, penguin. No long goodbye.
The penguin runs off and Popper gives chase. Two penguins exit the crate.
Game's over. You lose.
He places his penguin in the crate. As he turns away, two of them run out.
No! Where do you think you're going?
Two more escape unseen.
My kid's birthday's in 10 minutes. Okay? That's right. I make the rules. Because I have the brains.
With a confused look, Popper sets his penguin down and heads into the kitchen. He finds a penguin eating from a tipped trash can.
How'd you...
In the bathroom, he finds a penguin in the toilet.
What the...
The bird spins with the flushing water. Popper grabs it. Covering his ears, he drops the penguin. His gaze shifts to the dining area. As he heads over, the bathroom penguin follows. Popper jumps in surprise. In the dining area, he finds three more birds.
Hey!
A fourth slides down the stairs.
It's an infestation.
He finds a fifth atop a panel fountain.
How'd you even get up there? Your legs are like 4 inches long.
Obviously, little miscommunication.
All right, who's hungry?
He opens a tin of sardines.
Come on, you little snow rats.
The penguins charge at him. Now he answers the door.
Oh, hey, gosh, thought you guys would never get here. That's great. You ready for the big birthday celebration fiesta?
Here we go.
Here's the thing. Not quite ready yet. So can you just... hang out for a bit while I get Billy's gift all set.
Translation, I forgot as usual, and I need to call Pippi to go get something.
Janie.
Not true. Bad translation. I got the gift. And it's right in here.
A penguin appears at his feet.
Yeah, a penguin!
No, Billy, I actually...
He's awesome!
Oh, great.
Hold on. You got him an actual live penguin?
The other penguins run over.
Six penguins? Yes! Best birthday ever!
That's good counting, Billy.
Do they have names?
Yeah, of course.
He points at his original penguin.
This one's Captain. Captain Popper?
A second bird approaches.
And that's Cloudy.
A third nips at Popper's leg.
Hey, hey!
One's Voidy.
A fourth lifts its rear.
Stinky.
A fifth nuzzles Amanda's leg.
He loves me.
That's lovey.
Yeah. Enchanté.
They see the sixth bird running into a wall. It stumbles back, then does it two more times.
And that's Nimrod.
Let's make a fort!
Oh, fort cool! Oh, Billy, the cushions. That's a great idea for fort building.
I gotta tell you, you have officially raised the birthday present bar to a whole new level.
I know.
How did you find them anyway? Some sort of, I don't know, birthday penguin rental company?
No. Actually, Tom Sr.
Amanda's eyes widen.
Your dad?
Yeah.
Wait, you saw him? How is he?
He passed away.
As in he's dead?
Yeah. He broke on through the other side.
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
She touches his arm.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
She nods skeptically.
You're fine.
Fine, I'm good. They left me those.
Hey, where are you going? Come back here.
Billy chases a penguin out of the room. His sister and the other birds follow.
You look great.
That's thanks, nice. I should get the cake in there. I got... Oh.
In the kitchen. Two penguins nuzzle in a refrigerator drawer.
Oh, my God! Oh, how cute.
It looks like they're nesting.
Finally, you have something in your fridge.
Popper cracks open the door.
Yeah?
Thomas Popper?
Uh-huh.
Nat Jones, New York Zoo, Flightless Bird Division. Your assistant called, the one with the pee problem. I'm here for the penguin.
He spots one.
Oh, wow. She didn't tell me they were gentoos. How many do you have? Five?
Six.
Six?
Yeah.
Oh, God, even better.
What's going on?
That's nothing. I'll take care of it. Hey, save me a piece of that.
He points at the cake, then backs into the hall.
I've got my team downstairs and a fully equipped retrieval van.
Yeah, it's great. But listen, you can't actually take the penguins right now.
What are you talking about?
Believe me, I'd love to give them to you. But it's my kid's birthday and he's crazy about them. You know kids.
I don't know kids. I know penguins. They like ice, snow, and fish. Put them in a New York apartment, they're going to get beak rash and wing mange faster than you can blot your birthday candles.
Wing mange?
It's not pretty. Those animals belong in a zoo.
Hey, I get it. I just have to take care of the politics.
Mr. Popper, don't postpone the inevitable. Give me the birds.
Yeah, absolutely. They're yours. Just not right now. I'll call you.
Yeah, soon.
As Popper heads back inside, Nat makes a call.
Hey, it's me. He's got six of them, and they're gentoos. Not yet, but I'll get them.
In the apartment.
What was that? What did that man mean? I'm here for the penguins.
Oh, that guy, he was, he's here for their baths. He's the bather. Trust me, you're gonna want them bathed. I just told him to come back later. Because we're in the middle of a party.
They're mine, right? I can keep them?
You kidding me? What kind of question is that?
I don't know, Billy. I'd make him promise if I were you.
Do you promise me, Popper?
Yes.
Say the words.
You don't want to disappoint them.
When did I ever disappoint anybody?
My birthday anniversary.
I promise.
As Billy hugs his father, the penguins gather at Popper's legs. Joining them, Nimrod trips. Later, a cab pulls up outside.
Can we come over again tomorrow night?
Really?
Please?
Yeah. What about you, Jane? You too?
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't be too bad.
To Amanda.
What do you think, Buzzkill?
She hits him playfully.
Night to myself. I think I'll survive.
Thanks, Dad. I'll see you tomorrow.
Billy hugs him, then climbs into the cab. His mother smiles at her ex.
It's a nice night.
Yeah.
She enters the cab and it drives off. Popper grins at a passing man.
My kids want to come over.
Who gives a rat's butt?
Fair enough. Have a good one.
Later. Popper lies awake in bed, his eyes wide.
People love the sounds of nature. Helps them sleep. It's beautiful. It's natural.
Downstairs, the penguins run in circles.
Excuse me!
They see Popper on the staircase landing.
Yeah, good. Now shut up and go to sleep. Or I'll give you something to honk about.
He glares, then starts to walk away. He gives a crazed look. Morning. Popper slaps off his alarm, then frowns at a sleeping penguin with its head against his arm. He finds all of the birds in his bed. As Stinky's tail feathers rise and fall on Nimrod's face, the bird tries to shake them away, but rolls off the bed. Now in the kitchen, Popper makes espresso. The penguins crowd him.
All right, back off. Spread out. Seriously, I'm used to living alone.
No. Expensive.
As he stows a wine bottle, Bitey nips him. He spills his espresso. A penguin pecks at a remote.
Hey, that's my remote, Pecky Peckerton.
The bird hits buttons with its beak, and the TV turns on. As the penguins move closer, Popper follows and sees Charlie Chaplin walking like a penguin.
Huh.
One penguin waddles, then turns, imitating Chaplin.
You like that, huh? It's funny, right? I like a penguin.
He gives a thoughtful look. Now wearing his suit and jacket, he passes the living room and finds the penguin still mesmerized by Chaplin.
Good. Let a loop all day.
He leaves. Now at work, he and Pippi hurry up a staircase.
I suppose it's a formal event.
Precisely.
Robert, where have you been?
Hey, guys.
We talked to Van Gundy's people. They say she turned you down flat.
Fellas, calm down. Life's too short, especially for Franklin.
We thought we could trust you with this.
Hey, Taming the Shrew is not a one-act play.
Pippi hands him an invite.
You know that she's the chair of several charitable foundations? One of those foundations is having a benefit at the Guggenheim Saturday.
And Mr. Popper will be present?
I figured it out. She's looking for somebody with integrity and character. Somebody like Jimmy Stewart.
And doggone it, that's exactly what I'm gonna be.
He grins.
I'll use my own voice, though. Although that was uncanny. Come on, give it to me.
We expect some results, Popper. And until we get them, you can keep your name off my marble slab.
His bosses leave.
Man your age shouldn't be talking about marble slabs. I got this. Penguins, Pippi, talk to me.
Per your predicament, I printed a pertinent page from Wikipedia.
She reads,
Gentoo penguins may periodically imprint on a particular person as if they were a penguin. Once imprinted, they remain permanently proximate to their parental proxy.
Is it actually written that way?
I'm paraphrasing.
They're imprinting, all right.
He reads from the printout.
Uncanny tracking ability. Can locate each other at great distance.
What about keeping them in line?
Next paragraph.
Are more docile when kept at lower temperatures.
At home, Popper keeps his balcony doors open.
Cold enough for you? Glad you're comfortable.
Ow! Hey, this is a finger, this is a fish. Learn to tell the difference.
He wears his coat as he feeds the penguins. Ow! His kids arrive.
Hey, kids.
Stay, sir. A little fresh air. It's not bad if you keep moving.
Stinky!
Penguins need it cold. Otherwise, they get wig mage.
Dad, are you okay?
Yeah. Never better.
I sent the penguins to the park.
Billy, no. What if they run off?
You know, maybe they are a little cooped up in here.
Now at the park, Billy kicks a soccer ball while Popper sits with Janie on a bench. The penguins crowd him.
Boy, look at all this space. Don't you want to spread out and explore?
Last for a while.
As he waves, the penguins take a step back. Beside him, Janie texts on her cell, and Popper gives a disappointed look. The penguins find a pigeon amid them. It flies off, and Captain watches, its flippers flapping. Popper meets the penguin's gaze. captain flaps again.
Flight envy? Really? That's hilarious. I hate to break it to you, Captain, but those are fins.
I think you might be more fish than fowl.
Captain looks down.
Hey, Dad! Heads
Popper
up.
Catches the ball.
Oh, I see how it's gonna be. All right, let's see what you got, Billy.
He tosses it back, then joins Billy. The penguins follow.
Come on, JD! Come on, let's get a game going.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Oh, come on!
Little Popper, over to Big Popper.
Billy passes the ball. As Popper kicks it back, the penguins play with him.
Oh! Nimrod blocks it over to Loudy, who dribbles it. Penguin flatulation. Could be a yellow card. Loudy controls, leaks it over to Billy, who bends it like Bitey.
The ball rolls over to Janie.
Uh-oh. Better pick it up. Come on, Janie.
What are you afraid of? Can't be no man.
He mimes texting.
OMG, I'm too ADD to play with DAD. Frowny face.
Janie rolls her eyes.
Fine.
She stands.
All right. You know, I heard the girls are the weaker sex. Didn't you hear that, Billy?
Janie kicks the ball and it smashes Popper's face.
Are you okay?
Popper falls back, the penguins imitating. Later, tissue hangs from Popper's nostril as he watches a family board an elevator.
Sorry, Dad. It really was an accident.
Yeah, I get it. You both have power shots.
Mr. Popper!
Daryl smiles.
Hey, guess what? I got new contact lenses. I.e., I can see more now. I.e., I can still see your 6 illegal pets.
He gives Daryl more cash.
We cool now, Hawkeye? Let's go, kids.
Nimrod bumps into a wall, then waddles off alone. Daryl counts his cash. Later, under blankets, the family watches Chaplin get blown across a snowy cabin. Amanda enters with a penguin in her hands.
Hey, everybody.
I found him in the lobby.
Oops.
I figured it was like that time you lost Janie at Macy's.
You lost me?
You're never lost. I simply fail to maintain visual contact. It was less than an hour.
Smiling, Amanda sits. She watches the Chaplin movie, then grins at her ex-husband.
They're liking it here. Want to keep him overnight?
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
And Rick and I are celebrating.
You got the grant.
Yes.
Wow. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. You know, I was planning on having him stay at Mom's when we're in Ghana.
Oh, you're actually going to Ghana? And?
Just for 3 weeks. Maybe they could spend a few nights with you. Hey, kids. Want to stay the night with your dad?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Okay.
Right.
Amanda steps around the couch and Popper follows.
Good night.
Good night, Mom.
She gives Janie a kiss.
Good night, Mommy. Good night.
She hugs Billy.
Good night.
As she turns to Popper, they almost kiss, but hug instead.
You too, Loudy.
He watches her step out.
Bye.
Bye.
The kids notice their father's lingering gaze.
You like Mom.
I do not.
Popper stands awkwardly.
I mean, I like her. I don't know if she likes me. She talk about me?
You're acting weird.
Oh, look, this is my favorite part.
Now the penguins sleep on Popper's bed. Popper eyes them, brushing his teeth. He wears a thick vest and gloves, now on his cell.
Mr. Popper, I purchased the special champagne per your request.
Good. Everything needs to be clockwork at the Guggenheim. This could be our last chance with Van Gundy.
And should I be procuring a babysitter?
Yeah, absolutely.
With an older woman.
So we're talking standard hours, little light housekeeping, and you might want to do that coat off. Get your death in here. But as far as the, when you're taking care of, just plunk them in front of the TV.
Perfect. So, should we meet the kids?
Sure, yeah. Come on over. Here they are.
He leads her to the penguins who watch Chaplin. The babysitter stares, then faces him plainly.
So you'll be home by 10?
At the latest. Just keep the Chaplin movies going. They'll zone right out.
Nighttime. Popper steps outside in a tuxedo and waves to hail a cab. He drops his arm to his side, checks his watch, then marches off. Crossing a row of street vendors, he notices a 5-foot-tall stuffed penguin standing at the end. Popper reaches into his jacket and takes out his cell phone.
Hello, Mr. Popper.
How are they doing?
You are worried like no mother. It is adorable.
Yeah, I know. Okay, turn my phone off.
Okay. Good night.
The babysitter sits on a remote control, and the channel changes to a show featuring a sea lion. Frightened, the penguins charge the babysitter, who runs out of the apartment, leaving the front door open. One penguin holds the door for the others as they leave. Nimrod bumps into the dresser on his way out. In the lobby, Kent faces Daryl.
I'm hearing shrieking, cackling, and trumpeting sounds coming from that apartment. Now, either Mr. Popper is hanging out with my mother, or I'm losing my mind.
No, you're definitely...
Daryl sees the penguins leaving the elevator.
That man is up to something. I hear the pitter-patter of floppy feet coming from inside that apartment. I feel like I can hear them now.
Sorry, Kent. As far as I'm concerned, Mr. Popper is an ideal tenant.
Outside, the penguins cross a wet sidewalk bordered by mounds of snow. They reach the curb, then hop onto the street and march off in single file. Now taxis drive past the Guggenheim, a white cylindrical building reminiscent of a beehive. Elegant guests gather inside the multi-tiered rotunda, where Pippi hands Popper a bottle of champagne.
Bubbly? Where's the target?
Up there, proximate to the Pissarro painting.
You look pretty.
She smiles in her elegant lavender gown. Meanwhile, the penguins pass the row of street vendors. Lovey slows to a stop on spotting the giant stuffed penguin. He bows. The white-chested penguin bears a black mark over his heart. As the penguin swoons, another approaches. Lovey follows the penguin off. With their flippers up, the line of penguins walks past the Metropolitan Museum of Art. At the Guggenheim.
So she never did see the flowers.
Mrs. Van Gundy.
What a pleasant surprise.
Oh, Mr. Popper. I wish I could say the same.
You're dry. I like that.
A server brings champagne.
Mrs. Van Gundy only drinks Krug.
The server leaves. Popper unwraps his bottle and pops the cork.
Oh, yeah.
As an old man yawns, Pippi casually catches the cork before it enters his mouth.
May I?
1992. Oh, it's a ghastly vintage. I'll take the free stuff.
Sound off.
Terrence.
Popper watches Van Gundy go, then leans back on a railing next to a white-haired man.
1992. Ghastly vintage. I'll take Terrence!
Sipping from the bottle, Popper eyes the man. He holds the bottle as if pouring it into his ear and spits champagne. He tosses the bottle in a trash can.
Stay in the game.
He heads off. Outside, Captain sniffs around, leading the group down a sidewalk en route to the Guggenheim. Inside, our view roves up the museum's spiraling tiers. Popper and Mrs. Van Gundy stand before a painting of a large black dot.
I bet there's a giant sentence somewhere looking for an ending.
Mr. Popper, if you're trying to convince me to sell you the tavern, I'm afraid you're wasting your time.
Well, let's not talk about the tavern, because that's not why I'm here. Mrs. Van Gundy, you want to know what I'm worth. I get that.
Mr. Popper, this is the premier cultural event of the season.
Popper spots the penguins on a lower tier across the rotunda. They spot him, too.
And I can't have anything disrupting it, especially you.
As they head up the spiral, Popper watches them over her shoulder.
I know.
Oh, wow, what a beautiful piece of music they're playing down there. May I have this dance down there?
You're tenacious, Popper. I'll give you that. I hope you can keep up with me.
Yeah, well, let's hurry. We're missing it.
He escorts her to an elevator.
Here you go.
The penguins catch up. Van Gundy and Popper step on board, and the elevator doors shut the penguins out.
Are those penguins?
Must be part of the exhibit.
As Captain leads the group back down the spiral, he collides with a server's white barrel, spilling water onto the smooth floor. The penguins dive on their bellies, using the wet floor to slide down the long, sloping, continuous spiral. A man steps out of their way. Dancing with Van Gundy, Popper looks up. Pippi does the same. On their way down, the penguins trip a couple and rip off a woman's dress. More patrons jump out of their way. Popper looks over Van Gundy's shoulder. As a man tips over the railing, his date catches his leg.
Oh, what is that noise?
Popper waves his hands at her face.
Nothing. Stay focused.
Captain trips another server. Spotting an elderly man with a walker, the penguin tucks in its flippers and shoots between his legs. Reaching a smooth silver sculpture, the penguins launch into the air. Popper shields Van Gundy's view as they all crash into a band. The dancing patrons part, giving Mrs. Van Gundy a view of the penguins. Bitey bites the server's leg. Lovey hugs a woman, and Stinky farts.
Who's responsible for this?
Popper points out a woman in a black and white dress.
My eyes on her.
Is this some kind of environmentalist protest?
Captain spots Popper, who tries to slip out.
This is disgraceful. Don't lie to me.
Mrs. Van Gundy sees the penguins chasing Popper to the exit. Squinting after them, she leans back. Later, a taxi arrives at Popper's apartment building.
I don't like you. I don't need you. I don't want you in my life.
Popper steps out of the cab.
Come on.
Single file, the penguins follow him inside. Watching from a parked SUV, Nat raises a cell phone to his ear.
This guy's a complete amateur. I've just got to pick my moment, then make my move.
Daytime, at work.
Pippi, the Guggenheim was a fiasco. Get me another meeting with Van Gundy. Pronto.
I was going to say that.
Now at the apartment.
Hey, Dad, come play hide and seek. Captain's it.
I am still not speaking to them.
Janie buries her face in her gloved hands.
What? What happened?
Nothing, I'm fine. Billy, it's time to go.
Janie, what happened?
I said I'm fine.
Hey, I know I kind of blew it before, but I'm actually pretty good at giving advice.
Mom's here. We gotta go.
Popper follows her to the elevator.
Janie, come on. I want to help.
Really? Fine. Here it is. Madison broke up with Cooper Keegan to go out with Brandon Yee.
Brandy.
So Cooper texted Brittany to see if I was going to the snowball dance, and she's all, no, she's not going. So now I look all desperate and dumb.
They exit into the lobby.
So great, right? Cooper's going to ask me the snowball dance, but he never calls, and now Brittany's telling everybody that Madison kissed him in the third period. But then I hear that Brittany likes him too, so I don't know what to think. So there it is. What do you got, Dad?
Well, who's Brittany again?
Brittany's Madison's BFF.
Madison's big fat friend, got it.
Outside.
Janie! Hold on. Hold on. Janie. Look, sweetheart. Maybe this just wasn't meant to be. Don't waste your tears. There's gonna be a lot of other guys.
You're gonna go through this over and over. By the time you're my age, you're not even gonna remember Kevin Cooper. Cooper Kevin? Cooper Kevin? Kevin Cooper?
So just forget about it and move on?
Exactly.
Great, thanks. I feel much better.
She gets in an SUV and shuts the door. Popper faces Amanda.
Good advice.
No, you know what? Maybe she doesn't want advice. Maybe she just wants you to be her dad and listen.
But what if my advice is amazing?
Good night, Popper.
Shame to waste it.
Later in the bathroom.
Madison kissed Keeper Coogan. No, Cooper. Cooper! Cooper!
Kissed Keeper. What? I can't get 30 seconds of privacy around here? What do you want? Fish? Chaplain? Oh, I'm not supposed to guess. I'm just supposed to listen. All right, I'm listening. Oh, come on, smart guy. What is it? What do you want?
Captain waddles near and nestles his beak against his leg. Popper looks up.
Not fair. Come on!
He picks the penguin up and it poops in the toilet.
Did I do that?
Hey! Is that what you were trying to tell me?
Hey, anybody else want to try?
He picks up another penguin and holds it over the toilet.
You look full. Open the Bombay door! Oh! That is some good...
Now in the living room.
Stay! Stay!
As Popper crosses the room, the penguins follow.
Well, come.
Later, Popper studies a YouTube video showing trained penguins. Now kids hold onto a rope as they walk between two chaperones. Popper passes with his penguins on a walking rope. At the dinner table, Popper closes his eyes.
Dear Lord, thank you for the food we are about to eat. Please use your mighty power to stop the melting of the polar ice caps. Amen.
As Popper eats his dinner with chopsticks, the penguins eat from plates of fish. A few hop on the table.
Pass the salt. I'll bet.
Now Popper leads his penguins across a footbridge. He stops and allows them to walk between his legs, then waddles on after them. Now Billy and Janie enter the apartment.
Hey, kids.
Check this out.
Standing in a row, Popper Everybody and the penguins dance in sync.
And shuffle ball step, shuffle ball lunge. Step ball change, step ball change, step ball change. Word.
Nimrod tips over.
And the Tony goes to Mamma Mia because somebody didn't show up for rehearsals. Not mentioning names.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Popper notices Janie checking a text message on her cell phone.
Whatever it is, I'm here for you, sweetie.
Relax. It's no big deal. But, Cooper Keegan just asked me to the snowball dance.
Cooper Keegan!
Oh my gosh, I need a dress!
OMG. LGB1.
What?
Oh my god, let's go buy one.
You mean you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Later at a clothing store, Popper and Billy sleep on a couch. A dress flips over a curtain rod and an employee brings another one.
Dad, I look terrible in all of these.
Well, I'd love to see one of them. I'll tell you what, whatever you've got on right now, just bring it on out to the viewing area so we can view it.
Fine.
Janie steps out in a silver dress, her long hair draped over one shoulder. Popper and Billy sit up.
Wow. You actually look beautiful.
Yeah, right. Dad.
You're an angel.
Shut up.
Popper beams. Janie turns to a mirror. Billy pats his dad on the shoulder.
I made that.
What?
I'll tell you about it later.
They enter the apartment.
Hi, birds.
Hi, birds.
Let me get you a snack.
Janie crosses to the living room where the penguins gather around a scattering of stones from a hearth. She kneels on the floor.
OMG.
A penguin backs up to reveal an egg.
Dad?
No.
Popper crouches down to find another egg.
No.
And a third. Lovey wanders off.
Lovey.
The penguin turns back, then scurries out as Billy joins them.
Eggs? So baby penguins? Baby penguins?
Or a three penguin omelet.
Dad?
Popper steps aside and makes a phone call.
Amanda.
Hello?
You gotta come over.
Amanda sits at a restaurant. Now Popper answers the door for her and Rick.
Hey.
Oh, you brought Rick.
Yeah, we were on a date. Be nice.
Hey.
Rick approaches a penguin.
Oh, greetings, little friend. Hey, what's your name?
The penguin bites his hand.
Rick, Bitey. Bitey, Rick.
Bitey leaves and another penguin approaches.
Who's this fella?
Oh, Stinky. His way of saying greetings.
Loudy charges, beak wide open. Rick backs to the door.
You know what? I'll meet you in the car.
Amanda shakes her head.
Come on, you gotta see this. Come on.
What am I looking at?
What? Just a miracle, that's all.
Popper urges a penguin back to reveal her egg.
Hold on, is that...
Eggs. Three of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Hey, look who's a new dad again, huh?
It's really kind of cool.
Janie and Billy leave them. Amanda points to a penguin sitting on the snow globe.
Nimrod. Hasn't quite figured it out yet.
Yeah, but look, he's so attentive.
They have to separate for long periods of time just to find fish.
Must be kind of hard on him, huh?
They always get back together, though.
It's nice.
It's natural.
Mom, Dad wants to know if you'll have dinner with him.
What?
Billy, I don't know if that's...
Mom,
actually...
just do it.
Later.
What do you think of this shirt? Does it make me look pale? I know they are. It's a little cold in here.
He rubs his chest.
How dare you?
He zips his fly.
Nice. You gonna let me go out like that? Some friend you are.
Popper faces all the penguins.
Got a reservation at Jean Georges, which is almost impossible unless you're dating the Donald. Which I am not willing to do. You guys gonna be okay? Not that I don't trust you. I just worry, that's all.
He answers his cell.
Pepperoni.
Oh, Mr. Popper, Van Gundy phoned, requesting your presence at the property in the park.
Now?
Please be punctual.
Okay, tell her I'll be there.
He hangs up.
Guess I'll kill two birds with one stone.
Lovey exchanges a look with Captain.
It's a metaphor.
Now at the tavern on the green, a hostess leads Popper and Amanda to the corner table.
Yeah, we'd prefer to sit over here.
At a nearby table, he pulls a chair out for Amanda. The hostess hands them menus.
Thank you.
Popper eyes the corner table.
Oh, thanks.
He forces a smile, then shoots the corner table another glance.
You looking for someone?
No, just taking in the ambiance of the room. Hasn't changed in 30 years.
It's got sort of a
decaying charm.
Popper looks at the table again, and Amanda follows his tense gaze.
Okay, what is it with that table?
What?
You look like you've seen a ghost.
No, I'm fine.
Tom, it's me.
My dad used to bring me here whenever he was home.
Huh?
Yeah, that was our table. He used to give me these souvenirs he'd bring from his incredible adventures on the road. It was about the only time I ever got to see him.
In a flashback, young Popper sits at the table with his parents and opens a gift.
It's actually a good memory. Sometimes they're the worst.
Amanda shakes her head at him.
You were married for 15 years, and you have never told me that. You are a complicated man, Mr. Popper.
Later, Popper holds open the restaurant's door as Amanda walks outside.
I don't know. I think this old place has still got it.
He offers his arm, and she takes it.
Where are we going?
That's for me to know and you to find adorable.
Oh, really?
Yes.
As they head away, Mrs. Van Gundy watches from a window. Now the former couple ice skates on an outdoor rink.
Well, we're out of the medals. We had a good time. Nice trip.
Oh, I can't believe we're doing this.
I brought a girl here once, a long time ago. It was closed, so we broke in and stole skates.
Oh, she sounds amazing.
I thought so. Then she got on the ice.
He faces her.
She was kind of a spaz.
I think she was just trying to impress you.
Remember the boathouse?
Oh, the boathouse. Yeah, it was surprisingly warm in there.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Popper trips. Oh! Falling back, he pulls Amanda down with him. Oh! She lands on top of him.
I don't know what happened there.
He holds her gaze.
I think we just hit a rough patch.
She gives him an unsure look, then smiles.
Race ya.
Now Popper wears a dreamy smile as he strolls the hall to his apartment. He finds Daryl standing in his open doorway. Drawing closer, he sees Nat inside, feeding the penguins.
What's wrong? What's wrong?
You let him in?
He had a badge.
A badge from the zoo?
Look at this.
Hey! Step away from the penguins! These birds have eggs, Mr. Popper. They need a full veterinary workup.
Yeah? Well, if I get worked up, you're going to need a workup of your face.
Really? You've got some interesting ideas about animal care, Mr. Popper. You stick them in front of the TV?
Yeah. Chaplin, the classic.
You've got one nesting in the produce bin of your refrigerator.
Just shows what you know. That's a cheese drawer.
Fish filet sandwich? With tartar sauce? Is this your idea of a healthy animal diet?
Ooh, evidence. Call CSI.
He grabs the sandwich.
You planted this.
You have no idea what you're doing with these birds.
Oh, like you're some kind of penguin expert?
I am a penguin expert.
Yeah, but... Yeah, okay.
It's time for me to take these birds and put them in a proper home. You aren't giving them what they need.
I am giving them exactly what they need.
What? What are you giving them?
I am giving them love.
Love?
Well, sounds weird when you make me say it.
These aren't children, Mr. Popper. They're animals. They need food, they need snow, and every once in a while, one of them needs to be eaten by a whale.
Hey!
You want to know who they love? I'll tell you who they love. Whoever is holding the fish.
As he dangles a fish, Nimrod trips out at the cheese drawer and waddles over. The others flock to the zookeeper, including Captain, who leaves Popper's side.
Traitors.
Popper gives them a sulky look.
Wake up, Popper. These penguins can only survive in a zoo or Antarctica. So sooner or later, I will take these penguins.
Daytime, at a fish market.
Omega-3s, Pip. The penguins are way ahead of us on this.
Mr. Popper, I'm perplexed. How does this pertain to the Van Gundy problem?
Van Gundy? Oh, lots of that.
Pippi scoops up fish.
Please tell me you have a plan.
I always have a plan, Pippi.
He lifts the fish to his nose.
They're fresh.
Oh, really? Why do I smell bleach?
Mr. Popper, we've been pressed for progress. Perhaps I could pamper the penguins for you. You need to procure your promotion.
No, Pippi. What we need is squid and plenty of them.
Later, he shovels snow from his terrace into his apartment. His kids arrive and gape at the snow-covered living room.
See, there's no place to go. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Popper spots them.
Oh, morning, kids. Baby's on the way. Gotta get ready.
Young Gentoos need an ice shelf at 28 degrees. A little powder on top.
That's right. I'm kind of a penguin expert.
Gainey hits him with a snowball.
Hey, not in the house, young lady. Besides, when you pack this stuff down, it can really hurt somebody.
He throws a snowball at his son. Kent steps into the doorway and sees Popper slipping in the snow as he grabs his son. Billy puts snow down Popper's pants. Using his phone, Kent films as Popper fills Janie's hood with snow, then pushes it over her head. Kent smiles. Popper looks over.
Uh-oh. Grab a pen, Popper. I'm gonna hook you up with the number of a very good moving company.
Bitey nips Kent's leg. Kent drops his phone, carrying it in its beak. The penguin drops the cell in a tub of ice water.
Wow. I think I hear your mama calling.
You're only delaying the inevitable, Popper. I'll be telling the board about this.
In the tub, Stinky glances at rising water bubbles at dawn.
Kids, wake up. You don't want to miss this.
What are we doing?
Wrapped in comforters, they head into the living area. An egg begins to hatch. Sitting between his kids, Popper wraps his arms around them. They watch as the egg's crack grows larger. The bird's head pops out.
Here it goes.
Popper holds his kids tighter as he gazes at the tiny bird. Another baby emerges from its egg. Stepping out of its egg, the baby trips.
Reminds me of you guys.
Grinning, Janie shoots her dad a tearful glance. The family notices Captain staring at an unhatched egg. The bird nudges it with its beak. Daytime. In the snow-covered apartment, Janie builds a snowman. Billy ice skates from room to room, and Popper chases him with a hockey stick. One penguin makes a snow angel. Popper hockey stops in front of Janie.
Oh, sorry!
She throws a snowball at him.
I got your number, okay? Ooh,
as Amanda arrives, Nimrod tumbles down a slide covering the stairs. Amanda gapes at the scene.
Place is coming together, huh?
Or apart.
She cocks her head at the unhatched egg.
Captain's still waiting to be a dad, huh?
Mom. Yeah, that's right. A woman can be a captain. We don't tolerate gender bias in this house.
Oh, really?
Cross-checking's okay, no.
He pushes her back with his stick. Later, outside the elevator, Popper play-punches Billy.
5 minutes for fighting.
Oh, you promised to call me when it hatches.
Promise. Any day now.
As the elevator closes with his family inside, Popper smiles and waves. Back in his apartment, Captain glances at the two baby penguins.
Don't worry, Captain.
Popper blows on his hands.
Little fella's just taking his time.
And I bet he'll be a great flyer.
Nighttime. Amanda drifts off on the phone.
You're falling asleep.
No, I'm not.
Must be me.
You really should go to bed.
I'm not leaving him. He's a pauper.
He stares at the unhatched egg.
Good night.
Good night.
Morning. Popper sleeps curled up on the floor, facing the unhatched egg in Captain's rocky nest. He wakes up and furrows his brow. Answering the door, he finds Pippi and his bosses.
Oh, hey, guys.
We've left 7 messages.
You look terrible, Popper.
We haven't heard anything about the tavern. What have you been doing?
I'm sure Pippi told you. I've been kind of fighting a cold.
Pneumonia.
Move.
Yates pushes his way inside.
What?
If I'd have known you guys were coming, I'd have cleaned this place up. Just fired up the old Zamboni.
Maid comes on Wednesdays.
He brushes some snow off a couch and sits, crossing his legs casually.
He's gone insane.
I've seen this before. This is exactly what happened with Howard Hughes.
Because you're old.
Popper, the tavern.
Reader approaches Captain's egg.
The tavern is an interesting project.
Popper blocks him.
I have lots of ideas about the tavern.
For God's sake, man, pull yourself together. Your house is full of penguins.
I know. I know how it looks, but it's just one more egg.
And as soon as it hatches, I'm there. Franklin, how long have I worked for you? You know how many soccer games I've skipped? And dance recitals? Hey, what are we doing this for anyway?
Crouching, he reaches for the unhatched egg, then turns to his bosses.
Just some things you can't afford to miss.
Franklin gives a resigned look.
It's too late. We've lost him. Popper, you're fired.
Popper's eyes remain on the egg.
Okay.
As the men head out, Pippi blinks bewilderedly.
Best of luck in your future endeavors, Popper.
Franklin pats his back. Popper waves.
Appreciate it.
Now Popper wipes snow off his laptop and opens it. On Google's search page, he types, Penguin Egg Emergency Hatch Hal. Later, on his terrace, he builds a small covering of wooden beams with blankets draped across them. He places the egg underneath in a rock nest snuggled within a blanket. Nighttime. Popper sits on the terrace, his back propped against one of the covering's six-foot legs, and stares at the unhatched egg. Morning. He heats a spoon on a turbine vent, then glances at the egg as he eats from a pot. Nighttime. His hands hover around the egg.
Okay. It's gonna happen. I feel it. It's happening. It's happening right now. It's happening right now. I'm gonna give it the touch. Total belief. Total faith. Come on.
He lifts his hands from the egg and stares with devastated eyes. Sitting back, he clutches himself.
Oh, wow.
Morning. Nat crouches over the egg and presses a stethoscope to it. Standing nearby, Popper watches as the zookeeper listens carefully. Nat lifts his gaze to the rugged, unshaven man and shakes his head. Popper's shoulders heave, and he gives an anguished look. With a final glance at the egg, he trudges off. Later, he stands on the terrace with his back to the open doorway. Behind him in the apartment, the penguins cluster together and watch him. Nat approaches.
I tried to warn you, Mr. Popper. You're just not equipped for this.
Popper continues to stare off.
Maybe you should let me take care of them for a while.
The penguin owner shifts his sad eyes. Turning slightly, he gives Nat a nod, then faces the city again. Nat smiles. As he crouches in front of the penguins, they move a few steps away. Popper backs into the apartment and pulls the terrace door shut. Now in the boardroom at Franklin, Reeder, and Yates, a young man displays a photo of the Statue of Liberty with a similar statue right next to it.
What if the Statue of Liberty had a friend?
Okay, people. No more loafing around. What's the matter, folks?
Never seen a zombie before? That's right. It's the Dawn of the Dead. I'm eating brains and taking names. Marshall, get zoning on the phone. I want to know how soon we can break ground. Remind them of our donation to the mayor's reelection fund. Boy, I never get tired of looking at New York from here. Love what you've done with the place.
Popper, what are you doing here?
I'm on a mission of mercy, Franklin. I decided to take you back.
You're taking us back. We fired you.
All's forgiven then. Don't worry about it. Let me bring you up to speed. I've been playing hardball with Van Gundy. Told her kids we were offering $100 million. Suggest that they make her life difficult until she accepts. So, they've all moved back home.
Mrs. Van Gundy's planned a press conference for tomorrow. She wants us all present.
If you'll excuse us, we have to unpack.
Franklin watches them leave.
Popper's back.
Later, outside the apartment.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hey, Dad.
Hi.
Hey, how are you feeling?
Yeah, Dad. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Before you go in there, I think I should tell you there's been a couple of changes.
Billy races into the apartment and finds it returned to its original state. His smile fades as he gazes around the immaculate living room. He turns to Popper.
Where are they?
They're okay. They're fine. They're at the zoo. And you know what? It's really the best place for them. They're probably in an icy pool right now. All the fish they can eat. Full-time penguin masseuse. The whole thing's being narrated by Morgan Freeman.
You sent them away to some cage?
Billy, they're birds. They don't feel things the way we do.
Tom, I don't think...
Don't bother, Mom.
Come on, guys. We had fun, but it's time to get back to reality. We got soccer. We got the snowball dance.
I'm not going to the stupid snowball dance.
Janie blinks back tears.
Cooper Keegan asked somebody else.
Janie, sometimes boys are going to disappoint you.
I'm not disappointed in him.
She turns away.
Janie.
As Billy follows her upstairs, Amanda watches, then turns to her ex-husband.
What was I supposed to do?
How about feel something?
Oh, please. I feel great.
He sits.
I saw you with that egg. I saw you.
That wasn't me. That was a dream. Where people live with penguins and their kids love them and all the eggs hatch. So wake up.
Amanda gives a wounded look.
Wow. I just did.
She heads to the door.
Oh, and Rick wanted to extend the Ghana trip, turn it into a vacation. You okay with that, Popper?
She glares at the back of his head.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without turning, he nods. As Amanda storms out of the apartment, Popper stares with a frown. Later, he gazes sadly at his laptop as he clicks through photos of the penguins. In one, Lovey stands in some snow. In another, two penguins look down at their egg. Morning, riding in a limo, Pippi makes a call.
Pepsi Cola.
Mr. Popper, we're pulling up presently.
Okay.
In his apartment, Popper drops his keys. He lowers himself onto his hands and knees and peers under the dresser. His keys sit in front of the envelope from inside Captain's crate. Furrowing his brow, he slides the envelope out and stares at the handwritten name on its front, Tippy-Toe. With a wistful look, he stands and slips his finger under the envelope's flap. Opening it, he pulls out a letter and reads.
My dearest Tommy, in all my travels, I've never encountered a creature quite so wise as this. You see, once it loves you, it never leaves your side. I'm sorry, son, that it took me so long to learn that lesson. But I hope there's still time for you. Give your little ones a hug from Grandpa and hold them as close as you can for as long as you can. Bald Eagle, over and out.
Popper swallows. As he lifts his gaze toward the second floor, his face hardens in a resolute look. Now he leads Billy and Janie to the limo.
All right, everybody in. Let's go.
We don't want to go to your stupid press conference.
Popper climbs in after them.
We're not going to the press conference.
Pardon?
Driver, take us to the zoo.
What?
We're getting our penguins back.
Yes!
The kids high five. Now at the press conference, Mrs. Van Gundy stands at a podium. She notes an empty seat beside Franklin.
Mr. Popper, late as usual.
In the limo, Popper nods at Janie.
Call him.
Who?
He leans closer.
Cooper freaking Keegan.
But, Dad...
Sweetie, you gotta put your heart out there. And it might get broken, but that's how you know you have one. Call him.
Dad, I don't even really like him anymore.
I just got the name down.
But thanks.
She offers him her phone.
Call her.
Who?
Mom, freaking Mom.
I don't really like her anymore. I'm kidding. Give me that.
With a smile, he takes the phone and dials, then lifts it to his ear. In a cab, Amanda sits with Rick.
Hold on, sorry.
Hey, Jenny, what's up?
Amanda, hi. Look, I know this is a total Hail Mary, but please don't go to Ghana.
Tom, are you kidding me right now?
If you go there with him, then it becomes a relationship, and... I'm not asking for you to just jump right back in with me. I just want one more date. Just stay and go on one more date with me. Please?
He looks at his kids.
Long pauses are good, right? I mean, she's thinking.
They nod. Amanda smiles sadly.
Where are you going to take me this time, Popper? Another landmark you're planning to tear down?
No. The kids and I are going to visit some old friends.
Janie grins at her brother. In the cab, Amanda lowers the phone with a thoughtful look. She glances at Rick. Now at the zoo's ticket booth.
Two children, one adult.
Make that two adults.
Yes!
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's just a second date. And it better be a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, here we go.
The poppers enter the cavern-like penguin exhibit.
Okay, guys, we're here to get you out.
They're not here.
These aren't our guys.
No, they're not.
They burst into Nat's office and find him on the phone.
Where are my penguins?
I'm going to call you back.
I'm Mr. Popper. They're not your penguins.
Don't give us the runaround, Slick. Why aren't they out there?
Because we already have penguins. What we don't have is an emu, or a Komodo dragon, or a Bengal tiger.
What are you talking about?
Trading, Mr. Popper. Zoos do it all the time. Same as sports teams. How do you think the Yankees won 27 championships? Sure wasn't their farm system.
Where are you sending them?
3 to Washington, 3 to Tokyo, and the two chicks are going to Dubai.
But you can't split them up. They're a family.
God's sake. They're just birds.
Just birds. And what about the American eagle? Is that just a bird?
Yes.
Okay. What about...
Oh, Big Bird's a Muppet.
Look, can they just see them? My family is torn up about it. My kids are distraught. Right, Billy?
Please, sir, can we just say goodbye?
No.
Children, this is what a liar looks like. Take a mental picture.
Look, Popper, I couldn't even if I wanted to. They're already gone.
Howdy!
You are a liar.
Mr. Popper opens a holding tank.
There you are! Get back in there!
Bitey nips at Nat's finger.
Good job.
Mr. Popper, those penguins are going back in the tank.
No, they're not.
Oh, what do we have here? Anybody want some fish?
Luring the birds with sardines, he steps into the holding tank. Mr. Popper shuts him in.
Not this time.
Later, in a veterinary lab, he finds a stack of surgical masks.
Do you have some kind of a plan?
I'm sorry. Have we met?
Come.
In Nat's office, a guard opens the tank door.
What took you so long?
Sorry, sir. Sir, what do the suspects look like?
Let me think. They're the ones with the 8 penguins. Now seal all the exits!
Outside.
You guys have the babies, right?
Yeah, Mom, we got them.
Excuse us, avian infectious disease containment.
Antarctic bird flu.
There, there. Diarrhea. Vomiting.
Zoogoers hustle away from the masked family.
Thank you for your cooperation.
This way.
He points to a door, but Nat emerges.
Oh, no.
Or that way.
Amanda swivels his pointed arm.
Okay. Try to act normal.
Removing their masks, the paupers walk nonchalantly into a gift shop, followed by the penguins in single file. Nimrod bumps into a fixture and stumbles, bringing up the rear. Captain gets her webbed foot twisted in a kite string dangling from a high shelf. She turns in a circle, becoming entwined. A basketball tumbles from the shelf and knocks her to the floor. Two guards armed with nets fire from the entrance. Captain flees with a colorful kite strapped to her back, which knocks toys off display shelves as she runs past. She escapes into an elevator.
Into the roof!
Outside, Pippi paces by the limo.
Sorry, ma'am. Can't take...
Nearby, a big guard intercepts a mother and daughter trying to leave the zoo. Pippi checks her cell phone. A text from Mr. Popper reads, "Produce a perturbance." Pippi eyes her boss lingering in a doorway. She gives him a nod, then strides toward the guard, swoons, and falls on her back.
Oh! Hey, miss! Miss!
The paupers sneak out.
All right. Nice and neat formation. Okay. Stay in formation.
The family nears the guard, crouching over Pippi.
What happened?
I was pricked by a porcupine.
Where were you pricked?
In my posterior.
I don't know where that is.
There's the limo. Just stay in formation.
Nat turns a corner and spots the paupers.
Hey, break formation!
As the group races to the limo, Pippi wrestles the big guard to the ground. Nat swings a catch pole and misses. Mr. Popper closes and latches the zoo's gates, locking him inside.
Ah, you lose, slave trader.
I don't think so, Popper. Aren't you forgetting something?
No, I don't think I'm forgetting something.
Tom, we forgot to do a head count.
Okay, one thing I forgot.
We got him on the roof.
They see Captain sliding down to the edge of a high rooftop. The two guards follow close behind.
Captain!
She peers at the ground below. Flapping her flippers, she steps to the precipice.
Captain, no!
She jumps as she plummets headfirst toward the ground. The kite on her back spreads like wings, and she soars into the air. Mr. Popper fearfully opens his eyes and gapes.
She's doing it.
Captain's flying!
As she soars over Nat, he readies his catch pole. Mr. Popper grabs it and pulls it through the bars of the gate. He tightens the cable loop around Nat's wrists. Captain swoops to the limo and drops into its open sunroof.
Whoa! Can you believe that?
With the pole, he shoves Nat's hands into his face.
Why are you hitting yourself? Huh? Why are you hitting yourself? That's not attractive for a zoo official.
He anchors the pole, securing Nat's bound hands between the bars.
Now you're trapped like an animal. It's ironic.
He leaves.
Hey, don't come back here!
In the limo.
Did you see that?
Pretty good date so far.
We're just getting started. Driver, Tavern on the Green.
Ow!
Hold on, boss. Hold on.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
The big guard helps free Nat, who races to a worker passing in a golf cart. He throws him out, then speeds off in the cart. Now at the press conference.
There have been a lot of rumors floating around lately, and I'm here to clear them up. I have always said that I would only sell the tavern if I found the right person.
Mr. Popper bursts in, pretending to run in slow motion.
I'm here to announce...
Ray!
don't do it.
Do you like that? The slow motion effect. Just wanted to get your attention. Mrs. Van Gundy, you can't sell this place.
I know.
If you sell it to me, I'll just tear it down. And then Freddy and Tito and Klaus and the guy that looks like Chef Boyardee will be out in the street.
I know.
This place is a part of New York history. It's a part of my history. I came here with my father. The other day I had the best second first date a man could ever have. And I would rather cut my hands off and stick knives in my eyes than... Wait, I'd have to do the eyes first and then the hands. I'd have to have somebody help me cut the right hand off because the left hand
Mr.
would be gone.
Papa,
really.
Stop talking.
Okay.
I'm not selling.
You're not? Glad we got dressed up, huh?
Oh, there he is.
Nat arrives with the police.
Excuse me, folks. Nat Jones, New York Zoo. This man has been trafficking in stolen penguins.
What are you even talking about from left field? Penguins? It's absurd.
He sees Pippi trying to wrangle the approaching penguins.
No. Penguins, please.
Hi, Pip. Thought you were going to stay in the car.
They picked the power locks.
He has been keeping these defenseless creatures locked away in his apartment. When I tried to save them, he broke into the zoo and kidnapped them.
I've seen these penguins before. Is it true, Mr. Papa?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Why'd you do it? Knowing you, it must be for some sort of personal gain.
Yes. The kind no amount of money can buy.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Mr. Popper and his equally crazy family believe that these penguins love him. They are wrong. If they have to choose between love and a nice juicy sardine, they'll choose the fish every time.
I don't think so.
Let's find out.
He's got a fish.
Nat takes out a sardine.
I got this.
With the penguins between them, they each take a few steps back. Mr. Popper gives a confident nod. As Nat wiggles the sardine, the penguins glance at his rival, then return their gazes to the fish.
Come on, guys. Come on.
As they move toward the sardine, Captain glances uneasily at Mr. Popper. Nat smiles.
That's right.
Captain, come on. Come to Popper.
Captain addresses the others. The penguins rush back to the Poppers.
Hey, that's my guy.
Mrs. Van Gundy smiles and her staff claps.
No, that doesn't prove anything. Come on, aren't you going to arrest him?
For what? Winning? Is that what we do in this country? Is that what America's all about? I don't think so.
He starts a round of applause.
I don't think so.
America! Oh, America!
You people lost your mind? He's breaking the law.
Come on, guy. Have a heart.
Have a heart? I'm going to call the chief of police. I'm going to call the mayor.
Oh, allow me.
Freddie brings Mrs. Van Gundy a cell phone, and she speed dials a call.
Michael?
What?
How are you, dear? I've got a small matter that needs your
come on.
Not good.
The penguins will be provided for. Mr. Popper always has a plan.
This is insane.
Quiet, you. Quit your quarreling.
Pippi.
The cop shakes her hand.
Quint.
Pleasure.
He grins.
Quite.
With a smitten look, she leaves with him.
Well, I guess we have custody.
I guess we do.
Mr. Popper.
Mrs. Van Gundy.
Congratulations. The tavern is yours. I told you.
Mr. Popper glances at his bosses.
I never forget a name.
She looks toward the corner table.
I just needed to be sure that that little boy hadn't gotten lost somewhere.
Nice work, Popper.
Hey, Franklin.
When do we break ground on the new building?
We're not.
Reeder and Yates exchange a glance.
What are you talking about?
Springtime. The Poppers pass colorful flower beds as they approach the building. Inside, the hostess takes four menus reading Tavern on the Green, a Franklin, Reeder, Yates, and Popper subsidiary, and leads the guests into the dining area. At a small table, Pippi and Quint pause their conversation and gaze at Mr. Popper as he passes. He gives them a pleased look. Freddy grins as he crosses his path with a pitcher of water. Pointing his finger like a gun, Mr. Popper smiles at a table where his business partners dine with Mrs. Van Gundy. The old woman beams at him. With a wistful look, he watches the hostess set the menus on four place settings at the corner table. He gives a wide grin, then sits with his family.
It's really beautiful, Tom.
Thank you.
You did a great job, Dad.
I appreciate that, Billy. But it wasn't just me. I'm just the mastermind. So, I brought you here today because I want to tell you something.
I'm going on a trip. Very far away. And I could be gone for a very long time. So, I'm gonna need you to come with me.
The kids fist bump.
Nice!
Where are we going? I hope it's someplace warm.
Holding her gaze, Mr. Popper twitches a faint smile.
It's not, is it?
A gust of snowflakes obscures our view, then clears to reveal the family in goggles and winter coats with fur-lined hoods. They walk a snowy Arctic ridge.
Warm enough!
Perfect!
The six penguins and two babies walk in single file behind them. Below the ridge, hundreds of penguins mill around a snow-packed shore. As the family heads down to them, their penguins drop to their bellies and slide past their feet. Nimrod tumbles last. Groups of penguins greet the new arrivals.
Will you look at that?
It's a family reunion.
Hey, look, it's the Lovies! And the Lovies!
And the Nimrods.
Three penguins collide, then fall over. Janie sees Captain waddling off to the side. The lone penguin flaps her flippers, then hangs her head.
Hey, Dad. I don't think Captain likes it here.
Mr. Popper heads over to the reluctant penguin and crouches in front of her.
It's okay, girl. You just gotta get used to it, that's all.
He nudges her.
Oh, my.
She steps back to reveal an egg.
I think she's gonna be just fine.
What should we name him?
Well, she's gonna be an amazing flyer. So, how about Bald Eagle?
Captain flaps her flippers.
Hey, she's a good reason to come back.
Yeah? You hear that, Captain? We're coming back.
Thank you, Captain. You're the coolest gift I ever got. See you soon.
Leaving their kids with Captain, he wraps an arm around Amanda's shoulders as they look out at the other penguins.
Not bad, Popper. Not bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Janie and Billy join their parents. Mr. Popper wraps his arm around his daughter, and Amanda pulls her son in close. Behind them, a penguin runs over to Captain and nuzzles with her. They look down at her egg. As the four Poppers gaze out at the crowd of penguins, our view lifts back over the snowy ridge and widens to show an iceberg in the rippling ocean beyond. The picture fades to white. Appear. Directed by Mark Waters, a line drawing forms a penguin. Screenplay by Sean Anders and John Morris and Jared Stern. The penguin lays an egg. Based upon the novel by Richard Atwater and Florence Atwater, the egg hatches another credit, produced by John Davis. Another penguin squawks a credit. Executive producers Jessica Tuchinski, Mark Waters, Derek Doci, Joel Gottler. It backs up and squawks another. Director of photography Florian Ballhaus. A penguin bobs its head. Production designer, Stuart Wurzel. It shakes the credit with its beak. Film editor, Bruce Green, ACE. It pecks the credit apart. Music composed and conducted by Rolf Kent. Another penguin shakes its tail feathers. Co-producers, Jonathan Philly, Ira Napoliello. Feathers gently fall. Costume designer, Ann Roth. A penguin hugs the last letter, then hugs the letter L in. Associate producer, Linda Hill. A penguin teeters atop the letters of the next credit, Jim Carrey. It falls down to join the five other penguins who all dance, Mr. Popper's penguins. Our view zooms past their shaking tail feathers. Now snowflakes fall around a penguin. Carla Gugino, Ophelia Lovabond, Madeline Carroll. The penguins slide around snow mounds. Clark Gregg. One comes to a stop on its back, then throws a snowball. Jeffrey Tambor. A penguin uses the credit as a diving board, creating more rippling letters. David Krumholtz, Philip Baker Hall. Air bubbles flow from one bird's beak and another's rear. And Angela Lansbury. The credit rotates within a circle of backstroking penguins. Maxwell Perry Cotton, James Tupper. The circle spins out, leaving one penguin on the left. Dominic Chianese, William C. Mitchell. It swims across the credits. Casting by Marcy Liroff, Kathleen Chopin, CSA. The six penguins dance in a row, a Davis Entertainment Company production. One penguin tips over and another slides toward us, a Mark Waters film. A penguin wiggles its tail feathers at the credit.
Yo, man, let's get out of here.
More credits appear over a black background. Unit Production Manager John A. Maccioni. Unit Production Manager Jonathan Philly. First Assistant Director Stephen X. Apicella. Second Assistant Director Matt Power. Visual Effects Supervisor Richard E. Hollander. Visual Effects Producer Blondell Idu. Made in association with Dune Entertainment. No penguins were harmed in the making of this film. Jim Carrey, on the other hand, was bitten mercilessly. But he had it coming. American Humane Association monitored the animal action. No animals were harmed. Additional credits roll. Cast: Jim Carrey as Mr. Popper, Carla Gugino as Amanda, Angela Lansbury as Mrs. Van Gundy, Ophelia Lovibond as Pippi, Madeline Carroll as Janie, Clark Gregg as Nat Jones, Jeffrey Tambor as Mr. Grummins, David Krumholtz as Kent, Philip Baker Hall as Franklin, Maxwell Perry Cotton as Billy, James Tupper as Rick, Dominic Chianese as Reader, William C. Mitchell as Yates, Henry Kelman as young Tommy Popper, Kelly Barrett as Tommy's mom, Dylan Clark Marshall as young Tommy Popper number 2, Brian T. Delaney as voice of Tom Popper Sr., Elaine Cusack as Gremlin secretary, Harlan C. Kearsley as town car driver, Desmond Borgia as Daryl, Lee Moore as Reginald, Dominic Colon as Tito, Jeff Lima as Freddy, Frank Cornai as Klaus, J.R. Horn as Arnold, Matthew Wolfe as voice of Antarctic friend, Andrew Stewart Jones as animal control guy, James Chin as fish and game officer, Rafael Osorio as marine and waterfowl officer, Curtis Shoemaker as sanitation officer, Joseph D'Onofrio as random man on the street, Olga Moretis as nanny, Betsy Adam as tavern hostess, Angel L. Caban as fishmonger, Chris Beatum as young developer, Charles L. Campbell as voice of old Tom Popper Sr., Daniel Stewart Sherman as zoo security guard, Mike Massimino as cop number 1, Charlie Cimini as cop number 2, Quint, stunt coordinators, C.A. Aguilar, Stephen Pope, Blaze Corrigan, stunts, Rocco G. Forgione, Will Coate, Luis Moco, J.C. Robiana, Christopher Place, Aja Freire, Christiana Blaine, Bryce Burke, Chris Senatiempo, Bobby Beckles, Sharon Sims, Gerald Pates, Peter Epstein, Mark Ficera, Scott Burrick, Shane Garrity, Mike Mitchell, Craig Frazier, Jackie A. Greenback, Art Director Patricia Woodbridge, Set Decorator Ellen Christiansen DeJones, Assistant Set Decorator Becca Mess, Set Decorator Coordinator Alyssa Motchwiller, Camera Operator Thomas Lappin, First Assistant A Camera Heather M. Norton, First Assistant B Camera Robert Mancuso, Second Assistant A Camera Daniel Casey, Second Assistant B Camera Scott Tinsley, Steadicam Operator Stephen Constantino, Film Loader Jeff Panette, DIT Abby Levine, Camera Production Assistant Matt Howard, Script Supervisor Renee Foley Burke, Post Production Supervisor Joan Kelly Bierman, First Assistant Editor Liza Diaspinas, VFX Editor Thomas R. Byrant, Temp VFX Compositors Adam Avery, Cornelia Magus, Second Assistant Editor Kenny G. Krause, Assistant VFX Editor Daniel Arkin, New York Assistant Editors James W. Harrison III, Eric Laurent, Jim Maquiege, Apprentice Editor Scott A. Jacobs, Editorial Production Assistants Roberto Alejandro, Lauren B. Taylor, Visual Effects Production Manager Scott Puckett, Visual Effects Lead Coordinator William H. D. Marlett, Visual Effects Assistant Coordinator Scott Aaron Silver, Visual Effects Production Assistants David Gullman, Kevin Casarda, Matthew Piccarelli, Sound Design ADR Supervisor Mark Mangini, Re-Recording Mixers Andy Koyana, Ron Bartlett, DM Hempill, Copyright 2011 20th Century Fox Film Corporation and Dune Entertainment 3 LLC in all territories except Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain. Copyright 2011 TCF Hungary Film Rights Exploitation Limited Liability Company, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation, and Dune Entertainment 3 LLC in Brazil, Italy, Japan, Korea, and Spain. The events, characters, and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead or to actual events or firms is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected by copyright and other applicable laws, and any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. Read by Gailey Heidemann. For more information about motion picture access, visit our website at access.wgbh.com.